This recording, England 75, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Westminster. I grew up in Fulham from birth up until 18 before I left home. During growing up, I moved to Trinidad for a year. Things that have influenced me. My grandmother is full Chinese. When we were younger, we used to speak full Mandarin. I actually gave up speaking Mandarin or kind of refused to speak it because of being bullied. When we moved to Trinidad for a year, I would have been about 12 or 13. And the accent obviously rubbed off on me. And so myself and my younger niece who lived with us, like she was my sister, we both had these full-blown Trinidadian accents, which I actually really wanted to keep hold of. I love it as an accent. It's warm, it's rounded, and I have a bit of a biased opinion, but I think it's the most kind of beautiful accent out of the West Indian accents that are there. My national heritage, I would say I'm Black British, but my mum is a complete cocktail of things. She's Spanish, she's Indian, she's Chinese, and she's Black. My dad is of Nigerian descent. Don't speak any Nigerian languages or dialects. I think my accent's been changed a lot because of growing up in Fulham. It's probably generally a middle-class area. But my parents have sent me to a range of schools. I was a somewhat mischievous teenager because all I wanted to do was dance and sing, but I don't think they saw that as a thing for me. So they sent me to a boarding school for a while, but I was shortly suspended for being very naughty indeed. And then I went to another school and a local school. But I'll wrap up quickly. What's affected me? Just being in a range of different situations and travelling around a hell of a lot and being in so many different places in London. So, yeah, that's it. Bye.